Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International, and we're looking forward to our time together with you again today.
We're going to be talking about setting priorities. You remember the last program we were talking about forming common goals? Today we want to talk about how we set priorities to reach those goals. So we hope you have a paper and pencil as we begin today's program.
So how did you do since the last time we were together when we talked about how we formed some of our goals? How did you do in taking time and making time? Now, you may have said, yes, we need that time, but did you actually carve out that time? Did you make the time to sit down together and look at what goals you wanted to have? Because if we don't know the goals that we're agreeing on, how are we going to set the priorities? And that's what we're going to talk about today, how we set the priorities to accomplish those goals.
You know, sometimes we set the goals, but we don't take the time to set the priorities to reach them.
That's right.
And what happens is we find out that life becomes more frustrating again, more stressful. And we become discouraged because we have these goals out there, but they're not really being met because we've never set priorities to get to reach those goals, to get there. So there's discouragement that comes in, or sometimes even guilt. So setting priorities has been a exciting thing in our family, and we keep not just setting a priority, but we change our life to meet those priorities, and then we reevaluate that, and it's been such a blessing in our home.
That's right. So let's look at the three goals that we talked about for our home last time, because we want to take those three goals that we felt were vitally important, and then we want to talk about how we went about setting those priorities to accomplish it. So our first one was having a vital connection with God. Without this vital connection to a power outside of ourselves, we are powerless. We can't do it, can we, dear?
No, we've already tried many times.
So Jeremiah 29:13 says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Well, that means we needed to take more time than we were taking to spend time in God's Word, because we talked about this sure foundation, but if we're not in God's Word, we're not going to have a sure foundation. And so if we're not seeking God, we're not going to be able to have this vital connection, this power that we need to really live the Christian life, to really have a marriage that's heart to heart. So we made some decisions on making time for God in the morning, rather than this 5 minutes and the quick, you know, reading it out the door.
I remember when we made that commitment and we decided we were going to get up 30 minutes earlier. I mean, that's not a lot of time. We usually waste more than 30 minutes a day.
But it was a start.
It was a start. That's where we started. And I remember, you know, the excitement, the enthusiasm that we had. We had our two young girls and we were going to start getting up a half an hour earlier just to seek the Lord so that we could begin the day, because we knew that if we waited to try to fit him in somewhere else in the day, he just never would
get
fit in. So the very first morning when we got up, so did our girls. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Well, that wasn't too bad, but the next morning they got up again. And they had never woken up. You know, I mean, they were always good about getting up at their regular time. Mm-hmm. So I started setting the alarm clock earlier and earlier and earlier. And they kept waking up early and early and earlier. And the earlier they woke up, the more traumatic was their awakening. I mean, screaming, crying, hysterical. So it was very hard to even get them calm. Mm-hmm. And it was quite concerning to us.
Yes, and after we saw this happening over and over again for a few days, we were using some of our quiet time together to seek the Lord. Why is this happening? We began to realize that the devil does not want us taking this time. Now, he doesn't care if we go through some formality, okay? A quick prayer and then we're out the door. But what the devil does not want to happen is for us to gain a vital connection with
That's
the power
right.
of Jesus Christ. Because when that happens, the devil trembles, because he knows he begins to lose his power in our lives and we begin to live real Christian lives. So we recognized that the devil was beginning to harass our girls. They were waking up screaming early in the morning, just screaming, and they were contented and would sleep normally. So we went to the Lord. If you remember, that next night we went to the Lord and we got on our knees and we really pleaded with the Lord for our girls. And the blessing was that that next morning, the Lord put a hedge about us. At least that's how I visualize mm-hmm. it. He put a hedge about us, and we did not have that problem from then on.
That was very encouraging to me. That helped motivate me to know that the priority we were making with God first thing in the day was something that was important to Him, and it needed to be that important to us, that He would do that in our home for us and working with our children. And it's been something we've done ever since then.
That's right.
And it's been a real blessing. And in that morning time, we started establishing our personal prayer life. And we've already talked about prayers of love, but that's very important that we take the time every day to pray and commune with God for our personal needs.
And the other thing that we began to do was, instead of just reading something, we began studying. And I want to encourage you, there's a difference between taking the Word of God and just reading it. Reading is important, but studying is more important. If we'll take God's Word and we'll begin to study for a practical application for our lives, so that the words of God become words like they were for Jeremiah. I found thy word and I did eat it, and thy word became the joy and rejoicing of my soul. That means that for Jeremiah, the word of God became a part of him, and that's what God wants for us. So just reading for us was not enough. It was beginning to study and understand how this applies to me and how I can bring it into my marriage and my family.
And that also encouraged us to start studying for things that we knew we needed in our lives. And for me, it was how to be a better wife and a better mother, because that's where I live every day. And for you out there, you women, instead of looking for generic topics, study God's word for how you can be a better wife and a better mother in your home, and see the difference that God can really make in your life. And then the other thing that I really enjoyed doing was, when we would finish, I would come to you and share with you what I had learned. Mm-hmm. And you would share with me what you had learned. And that was encouraging, because we could glean from each other's study time and get a bigger blessing.
Okay. So we hope that you will take the time not only to find the common goals that you believe in and that you believe will change your family and that will advance your family, but then take the time to set the priorities and then follow through with those priorities. The second area that we talked about was the happy home. Now, this seems very basic. Does anybody want to have an unhappy home?
No.
No.
Nobody wants to have an unhappy home or an unhappy marriage. I don't get married. No one gets married to be unhappy.
That's
we
right.
get married to fulfill happiness in our lives.
So we've come to understand that if we want to have a truly happy home, then we need to make some differences in the choices we make, because it's not going to happen by accident, because everything is working against having a happy home. So one of the things that we started doing was beginning to have regularity in our lives. Now, why is regularity important?
Well, everything in life that's successful, anything that grows and blooms, has regularity. Mm-hmm. Every business that's successful has regularity.
That's right.
In my nursing, I had regularity. I mm-hmm. had to be to work on time. I had my responsibilities with my patients in ICU. These meds had to be given
That's
on
right.
time. These treatments need to be done on time for the life, for the safety, for the healing of that person. Mm-hmm. And we've just translated that into our life. If we want our home to be happy, certainly knowing how the day flows will remove a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the fretfulness,
That's
because
right.
everybody's anticipating what's happening next. And so we're flowing together. So
That's right.
setting a schedule and having regularity in our home became very important to us.
That's right. And I think the lack of regularity is creating a lot of confusion in people's homes, because sometimes mother and father may be ready for breakfast before father gets off to work, and the children may or may not be there. Some mornings they may have family worship, and then other mornings they don't, and that creates an atmosphere of confusion. So if we want to have an atmosphere that's a little taste of heaven, then regularity is something that we found was very beneficial.
That regularity I found important, because there was a tendency to think that when the children were little and I was at home with them, you know, during the week, and then I work on the weekends when you were home with them, that I could just, you know, let them get up when they wanted to and let them kind of eat when they wanted to. And those kind of thoughts, you know, and I'd go here and I'd go there, because there was a concept that you're just an at-home mom, like you really didn't do anything if you're at home. Well, we do a lot at home, and I found the blessing of the regularity to make the dispositions of myself and my children even happier by having that regularity in the home. My children had a regular time that they would come to the table, and we had a regular nap time and a regular play time, and I had to discipline myself from not just following whatever I thought of to do for the day, whether that was to go to the park or go recreational shopping or do this or go to the girlfriend's house. I started having some regularity in the day, and I saw a tremendous difference in our children. The security, the happiness, the cooperativeness, which made me, I was more receptive for you to come home, because my day was already better from just being home and having regularity.
That's right. And it's the same with the cleanliness and the order of the home. You know, it was a blessing for me when we began understanding how important it is. And again, if you look at successful businesses, whatever you look at that has success, there's always order. There's cleanliness. There's that regularity. And I know that coming home to our home when things were taken care of and it was restful and peaceful, it's very different than a lot of the homes that we've been in and a lot of the stories that we've heard as we've talked with couples who are struggling. This is one of the things that creates chaos in the home and creates a dysfunctional experience in the home.
I know, just, you know, having a place for the scissors, and everybody puts the scissors back and everybody knows where to find the scissors. Yeah, it's the little things like that make a huge difference.
Because it can be very frustrating if somebody is asked to get the scissors and they go to the place the scissors are supposed to be and the scissors aren't there. What does that do? It creates the potential for some frustration, some irritation. They are the little things.
Sharp words.
That's right. No, the scissors aren't here. Oh, yes, they are. No. You know, and then you find out somebody didn't put the scissors back where they go. It's a simple example, but life is made up of simple things day by day.
That's right. And I found that by having the home in order and having a place for everything has brought an atmosphere of peace, because we know where to find things. And it removes the potential for unnecessary eruptions in the home.
That's right.
Unnecessary temptations to irritation, anger, frustration, impatience, whatever, however one expresses themselves.
That's
in
right.
Those kind of situations that happen frequently when there's disorder in the home.
So, is it safe to say that it really doesn't take much more time, and in reality less time, if I come up and put my coat where it goes when I come home, or put my shoes where they go, or any of those things, rather than just throwing it across the chair or just kicking them off in the room where I step in, it actually takes less time and creates a more restful atmosphere if we keep it in order.
That's right. And I really, you know, have been blessed by my mother teaching me that in my home.
That's right.
I mean, I can remember as a child coming home and loving to be there when I came home from school, because it was inviting, it was clean, it was orderly. I mean, it wasn't spotless. I mean, the walls weren't shiny. It was a lived-in home, but there was order in the home, and it was just such a blessing. And contrasting that as a child to go to a home that didn't have that, I found it very disruptive in my heart, you know, in my spirit, even as a child. So it affects not just husband and wife, it affects everybody in the home.
Well, one of the other things that we felt was very important, and I'm thankful that we set this as a priority, is to have a respectful spirit in the home with a helpful courtesy. And that has made a huge difference. Because when there's a helpfulness there and when there's respect, one of the things that we said in our family, when we had one of our family councils talking about setting our priorities, is that we want to have a respectful atmosphere. Our children can come to us with anything. My wife can come to me with anything, and I can go to her, because we've agreed that we will come respectfully and we will listen and understand. And it makes a very nice atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we always agree on everything, but we come in a respectful spirit and we work through it in a respectful manner.
So really what we're saying is that in our home, and I know we've done this many times, we have our goal, and we have set priorities, but we reevaluate, are we meeting those goals by these priorities? And how are we doing in maintaining these priorities in our life?
That's right.
So we continue to reevaluate, and as the needs in the home change, as the young people grow older, and the times are different for their education or the work situation change, whatever it may be, we change with that. But we reestablish those same things back in place, maybe under new times.
Well, we need to talk about the third goal that we set and how we then made the priorities to fit that goal. But we need to take a break right now, and we hope you'll stay with us as we continue talking about how we set the priorities to have a marriage heart to heart. Welcome back, as we're talking here about not just forming the common goals, but how then we set the priorities to make sure that we take time to implement these goals. Honey, I think you wanted to share a few thoughts about some of the practical side of how we can really implement some of these things.
Well, we want to have a marriage that's heart to heart. That means we have to have time for each other.
That's right.
To communicate, to spend with each other, to do things together. And so by implementing these priorities in our lives, setting these priorities and bringing them into reality, has helped to establish that time. One of the things I remember doing in our home at your suggestion was using an answering machine. We went out, you know, those are the years before voicemail, went out and bought an answering machine, because it seems that every time you think you're going to have time with each other, the telephone rings.
And we didn't do very good at just letting it ring, did
we? Well, we're like everybody else. If the phone rings, you get up and answer it. I mean, it's like,
a
responsive,
human response. Yeah.
You know, to that signal, you know, like conditioning.
That's right.
And having that little answering machine there at first, you know, we could screen the calls, or we can just turn it down and get back to somebody later. And so that really helped us. Then now we have voicemail. But that was one thing we did to carve out that time to help us to have a marriage heart to heart in a practical priority that we did in our home.
That's right. We did actually a lot of things. You know, one of the best decisions that we made before we were married was no TV.
That's right.
Have you ever regretted that?
I have never regretted. I have praised you many times for your willingness to lead out in that.
You know, and we asked our children, how they felt about, you know, lots of other people have TVs, and all of our children have told us many times, we don't know how people have time for watching TV. It seems like some families, they've said, just spend hours watching the television. And the blessing in our home is that we've taken many of those hours that could have been spent there, and we've used them to make our home a happy place. We've used them to bike together, to take walks together. I mean, when's the last time that you just took one of your children out for a walk all by themselves, and the only desire that you had was just to let them know how much you cared for them and find out how their life is? This is something we do regularly and have for years. And to take you for walks, we do it daily.
Yes.
And we wouldn't really take that time if we were glued to a TV or all the other things that often take up communication time.
It's interesting that the television is a counterfeit to real life. Real yes. life is being with each other and
That's
doing
right.
things together and communicating. And a television puts you into a false atmosphere, a counterfeit,
yes.
and people begin to think that's real life.
Yes.
That's not real life at all. That's Hollywood. Yes. Real life is living with each other in our home together, being happy, and spending that time together as husband and wife, spending that with our family through the years, with our young people. We've done so many things together that they have thanked us for many times, and we have a great relationship with all of them.
And it's a blessing. One of the other things is we got rid of our recreational shopping.
Yes, I did.
That was more your thing.
Yes, it was more my thing.
It took a lot of time.
It did, it really did.
Not to mention a few extra dollars.
Yeah. Well, I just, in case I saw anything that I thought we could use, you know. Of course, I would make sure it was on a bargain, try to be economical about it.
Yeah, even if we didn't need it, right?
Right, dear. But the other thing, I quit that recreational shopping because I wanted more time with you.
Yes.
And you wanted me to have more time with the children. That meant that I wasn't out there making an income. I was being devoted and dedicated to raising our family.
Yes.
And to keep you from having to work extra hours, then I needed to change how I spent the money, or at least part of that money.
And I have to be honest, too, because I had to give up some of my extracurricular sports activities. I know I was the team chaplain, and they said they really needed me, but I realized that I had so many things going on, and I did. Our lives were so busy doing good things, not bad things. Our lives were full of good things, and we came to realize that if we don't make some decisions about all the good things for the best things in life, the best things are going to get crowded out. And as we said earlier, one of the best things that gets crowded out of a busy lifestyle is real time to make a vital connection with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so also for the happy home, we saw that time was being crowded out. And so I made what for me were some hard decisions and cut out a lot of those extra sports activities and reinvested that time into you and our children. And I've never regretted that investment.
And neither have we.
Well, so we talk about the third area.
Yes.
Okay. Parenting in agreement. You know, as part of having a happy home, we found that parenting in agreement is vital. Romans 15:5 talks about being like-minded. We want to create an atmosphere where the children don't feel like if they can't get it from dad, maybe I can work mom, right?
That's right. And that happens a lot. I mean, children are normal. I did the same thing, you know. If my dad said no, well, of course I go to my mother. But I'm thankful that she was very wise. What did your father say? If I went to my father because mother said no, what did your mother say? This is a real key to happiness in a home and for a good, happy marriage. Because
that's right.
Children, they're not intentionally trying to work mother and father apart, but it happens, shall we say, somewhat innocently, because they're just focused on their selfish
wants.
What they
want.
That's
yes.
Right.
So that's been a blessing. And the way that we've come to gain that blessing, in part of our quiet time, we began studying the principles of God's Word for how we could parent in agreement. It made a huge difference. You know, when I look back at my early experience, I was out the door with a quick prayer and maybe, a quick devotional reading. I was not taking time to really know God's plan as a parent, as a husband. And so as we began taking time and studying the principles of godly parenting and working with our children, what a difference it made in our experience.
I remember the main area that really helped us was sometimes I would feel a caution about something concerning the children, and you would say, well, what's the problem with it? Okay, what's the problem with it, right? This is where a lot of husbands and wives start to get into problems, because I can't tell you what the problem is. I just don't feel right about it.
Yes.
But you want me to give you a reason, and if my reason's good, then you accept that reason, then we can agree.
Yes.
But we have found that sometimes those cautions, as we've termed them, we don't always have a reason that we can identify at that moment. And so our agreement has been, if you have a caution or if I have a caution about something, we don't move forward
right.
to say yes until that caution is removed.
That's right.
You know, it's the Lord Jesus who sends us those cautions. It's not the devil. He's not going to caution us and
that's
say, hey,
right.
watch out, because just around the corner, I've got something's going to trip you up or trip your young people
yes.
up. He's trying to entice us, entice them. And so these cautions and that agreement has been a real blessing. I remember one particular time when this was brought home in a very practical way.
Yes.
Our young people wanted to go on a hike with some other youth from the church group.
I remember.
And they came, and what did they do? They asked us if they could go.
And that right there, we should say, parents, that is a big plus in today's society, because they asked. That shows you something about the level of respect, the happiness of the home, and the desire to work together as a family. They asked. Many
they
just
asked.
Run off with their friends, and they're gone.
And I don't remember what you said, but I said, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it. I just have this caution.
And we've learned over much experience in raising our young people and working together in a marriage heart to heart, that those cautions have always brought us to the right answer.
That's right.
And so there was no debate, and we expressed to the young people that we did not want them to go on this hike. And they accepted it, and that was beautiful, which that's another area that many parents, that because they're not parenting in agreement, because there's confusion, the young people rebel, they don't want to agree with it, mm-hmm. but they accepted it. And the beauty of it was before the day was over, our young people got to see the fruit of some of what happened with that other group of young people. And they were thankful they were not involved in that.
And we were too.
We were thankful. And also, the Lord opened a beautiful opportunity with some other young people that ended up not going on that hike. And they were able to sit down together with their instruments and play music. They had a beautiful afternoon together, and it turned out better than if they had gone on the hike.
That's right.
And so now we need to bring the personal challenge to our viewers. You need the goals, but you need more than the goals. You need to set these priorities and then carry through, make the time to carry them through, and then evaluate how you're doing, and most of all, don't give up. Persevere. And let's ask God to bless us as we set these priorities. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to set priorities that are based on your principles. And we need your grace, your wisdom, and your power to accomplish them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we look forward to seeing you next time as we're going to be talking about effective communication. We're excited about this because we're going to be talking about it in four of our programs. Because communication is vitally important. If we want to have a marriage heart to heart, we need communication that's going to make the difference for eternity.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.